Hello and welcome back to the Thundersticks podcast. I am your host, Ben Kreider, and today I'm going to be breaking down a little bit of a rumor that has been circulating, and that is with SGA and his current future with the team. There was not really like a rumor, but it was more of just a conversation brought up on Brian Windhorst's podcast that has just been making Twitter rounds like crazy. And I also just want to address the timeline in general based off of what the Thunder ended up getting through Tuesday's draft lottery. But before I start on that, guys, I want to apologize for not uploading like these past six, it might even be seven days. And the last time that ended up happening when I was gone, it was due to me having almost like COVID symptoms. And I didn't have COVID, thank goodness. It was just like a common cold, but my throat was I could not say two words. I remember when I, you know, got back, even my throat was still killing me. But, you know, as for this one, I did feel a little bit sick. It wasn't like the last time, though. But yeah, I mean, nothing too crazy. I could have done it. But yeah, I had some other stuff going on. So I was extremely busy. And I did have some draft previews. I'll get you guys that later. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just wanted to address the main stuff that we had in this past week. And I did a roundup. I'd say about a week or two ago where I talked about Micić, I talked about Gabriel Deck, a lot of different topics. And I think this is kind of going to be one of those episodes because there's a lot of stuff that I could talk about here. There is a lot. I mean, the NBA Combine just happened. I loved watching those games. I have stuff about that. I got draft profiles. I got my personal big board, like everything. But I want to start a little bit more talking about the Thunder side of things because if I just came back from a week long of, you know, being absent where, you know, I've done daily pretty much since December. Like, this little break was huge for me. But, yeah, if I just came back talking random draft combine stuff, I don't know. That might be a little weird. So, I want to start off talking about SGA and everything. So, just beginning things, like I said, I mentioned it, the rumor came about on Brian Windhorst's podcast, and I just want to play a little bit of a clip of that. So here it is.
He was the 10th pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They traded up with him with Philly to get that pick. I'm not saying it
was the 13th pick. I mean, you can get a guy at six. It's just going to be harder.
No.
Well, sure. I'm also going to go out on a limb and say that the Thunder within these next few years will have at least one top five pick. So they're going to get a lot more swings at that one.
You would think so, but this
they'll
was
get a lot
this
more
was
cuts
a big moment. Yeah, no, they will. But this, I think this was a big moment for them to miss on. And look,
for sure,
you know, with the gap, you know, I'm going to watch the Shea Gildas-Alexander situation because all their guys are basically 18 years old, and then they've got Shea, and now they're traded for Kemba Walker. They're clearly still in asset accumulation mode.
I think Poku's about 16.
Right. I mean, all their guys are super young, so this team doesn't look like it's going to be ready to be competitive in the near term. And so when you have a guy like Shea, who's really good.
And if they are, Shea's plantar fasciitis will probably act up.
That's also true. Well,
it apparently acted up enough for him not to play for Team Canada, which I know was something that everybody was hoping for. So that was a little bit concerning, but you know, Trey's getting a match.
So as you guys just listened to that, I mean, it was more of just like random talk. They didn't have any sources like, oh, the Thunder are looking to trade SGA. It's more or less just those rumors you always hear swirling around. But the main person who was talking about SGA and the situation being monitored, as he said, was Tim Bontemps, works for ESPN. Same goes with Brian Windhorst. But yeah, they were kind of just tossing stuff out there. And the main point that I kind of got out of that like minute-long excerpt was that the Thunder, they might not be ready in time for SGA's timeline. And it's valid, but I don't think it's kind of at a point where you're trying to trade him immediately. Because, look, SGA, he's 22. And by tip-off time next year, he's going to be 23. His birthday is in mid-July. So, you know, I guess he's older than a lot of the other guys we have at hand, like a guy like a Poku, who's 19, Maladon's 20, and then a Dort, I think he's like 21 now, but yeah, I mean, 22, when you take everything to an account, and let's even say 23, because that's what he's going to be next season long, you know, that's not old at all. That is very young for an NBA player, especially one who's able to create their shot, who's already shown to have all-star potential, and a guy that the Thunder could have secured for the next six seasons because he finishes out his final contract here with the Thunder next season. He just finished his third year, and with a rookie contract, I believe it's a 2+2. Of course, they picked up the last 2 years. That'd be stupid not to. So he's going to play out next year, and then you're going to have that max contract extension kicking in, which Sam Presti would be an idiot not to give him the maximum offer. Like, you're not going to have any homegrown talent better than SGA come next year. Of course you give him a max. You don't want him walking away, because the last time he made a kind of rushed decision, you know what happened? James Harden suited up for the Houston Rockets, and we know how that story went, right? He's not going to let that happen to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So you'd see him play out next year. You give him a five-year max, and by the time he'd hit the free agency market, he'd be 28 years old. That's like the prime years. That's where you kind of start to hit that peak, and then you kind of go on the decline. But yeah, we have him secured for the long run right now. So to move him out would be very absurd, especially right now. But I do think what they were talking about in terms of the timelines maybe not aligning, it does hold a little bit of merit to it, and you can't really say yes or no right now, because if, let's just say if the Thunder walked out of Tuesday's draft lottery with number one and number five, obviously you get Cade Cunningham, that's your sidekick, you're up and running, and at number five, you get a Kuminga, a Scotty Barnes, or whoever you want, really. Like, it wouldn't matter. You would have the future set up, and you'd be playing for right now. That would work, you know, on a time schedule-wise, but even like a top three pick, you know, because you would be guaranteed a Cunningham, a Mobley, or a Jalen Green. I think Jalen Suggs, in my personal opinion, I don't see him as a sidekick next to SGA. I'm not as high as him on him as, you know, some others maybe, but yeah, I think the three that would have worked are Cunningham, Mobley, or Jalen Green, and probably Green more than Mobley anyways, but that would have worked out, and obviously they did not get any sort of luck. They rolled snake eyes, got 6-18, and when you look at who's left on the board, there's no surefire sidekick next to SGA, and the consensus pick right now is Scotty Barnes, and he has gotten so much praise. I talked about him in, I guess, my last draft profile series before we hit lottery night, and I combined him with Keon Johnson just because I saw those two as some pretty high guys we could see flying off the board. Obviously, now Johnson, he had a 48-inch vertical, so he's good, but I don't know if he's number six pick worthy right now. I know for a fact Scotty Barnes is, and he's even in some, you know, big boards at number three, which is very, very crazy. But when I look at a Kuminga or a Barnes, currently they don't fit. And even looking at the wings, the Mitchells, the Book Knights, the Moody's, they have the potential. I don't know if you immediately say they work, though. Like, you don't have any hits. At the top three, you had your hits. They're gone now. You don't have that kind of luxury anymore. And it does make things a little bit difficult. So if you're going to go with a guy like a Scotty Barnes, he's great. Yeah, he can play some defense, even with Jonathan Kuminga. Great defender, very versatile, and they're great at finishing around the basket. But you need a guy who can be an off-ball threat, and they can slash, but they can't really shoot right now. And they would need to patch that up. That's a long, long process. And when you look at how the roster currently is constructed, you kind of already have one of those guys in Darius Bazley, where his three-point shot has kind of dropped off a bit defensively. It's whatever. But he likes having the ball in his hands. He can attack the basket at will. He's a great playmaker. But you need to have an all-around guy you can pair next to him. And I don't know if it's right there. So the sidekick's gone, at least unless you're trading up. And, you know, if you don't trade up, you might be able to target someone. There's a lot of steals in every single draft class, of course. But, you know, it's not a guarantee right now. And when you look at the current core of the roster, let's break it down. I think the second guy in line you'd probably say is Lu Dort. Is he going to be your star, you know, your second best player on a championship roster? No. I mean, he's a very, very good complimentary piece. Don't get me wrong. He could probably start, But I don't know if he's going to be starting up 25 points a game, right? Like, he just goes in there, amazing catch and shoot guy, and he'll clamp up your best defender. Lovely. But he's not going to be that number two. And SGA, he's going to be, you know, one of your top two options. I don't know if he's the top dog, but he'd be very good. I don't know if you can say that about anyone else. Dort, Bazley, Maladone, even Poku, who has a ton of potential. We just don't know enough about him right now. Like, if he continues this trajectory where last season, you know, he went from bum, you know, everyone hated him the first 2 weeks of the year, thought he shouldn't have been a draft pick at all, to now, we think he has the chance to be a star. You know, if he goes in next year, he could be one of those guys who balls out, has a breakout year, and could be in contention for most improved player. And I'm not kidding. And he's only 19 years old, by the way. So the sky's the limit with him. But as I've mentioned, I don't necessarily know if it's a guarantee. And when you want to go, since the Thunder have so many picks, 18 first-round picks until 2027. I think there's like 17 or 18 seconds as well. In order to start things up, you want to start going to playoff contention when you already have a sturdy foundation. And currently, I don't know if it's there. I think moves would need to be made to build out that foundation because you have the groundwork. So you have SGA, you have guys in Dort, Poku, Maladone, Bazley, potentially, if he sticks around. But yeah, I mean, three, four guys that you're saying are going to be there. You need a lot more, and you need guys that you truly believe are going to be superstars, and I don't know how many you can pick out right now. So it's not going to be this thing where we're contending next year. We're not going to be probably even hunting for a play-in spot. Now, if we had Cade, definitely, right? And hell, I guess you could try to trade up for him. You could try to trade up for a Jalen Green, but I don't think you right now are thinking play-in. I think next season is going to be just like this one, and for some people, they're not going to be too happy about it. That's ridiculous. There's a lot of franchises who have been stuck in rebuilding phases forever, like eternal rebuild phase. We don't want to just go into the play-in and then whoop-de-doo, we're stuck in play-ins for the next five seasons. Like, why on earth would we want to be doing that? So strictly based on the timeline, like, you know, it's not going to be our year next year. Like, we're still going to be, as Bontemps mentioned, like in asset accumulation mode. And he thought of SGA as an asset. He's the holy grail of assets right now for the Thunder, right? Like, how many first-round picks would it take to acquire SGA? I mean, we've seen it with stars. Like, when you look at the Paul George trade, we got five firsts, SGA and Gallo. At the time, SGA wasn't SGA yet. He was just seen as, you know, a solid rookie who has some potential. You know, if you're making a deal for SGA, I'd assume the return would be close to that. You know, I don't know if it'd be as lucrative, but you'd be getting young pieces and you'd be getting a lot of picks. So I guess on that front, it, you know, you kind of want to try to talk yourself into it, but heck no, you want to run things out and see if you can get that sidekick. And when you're thinking of it, like, you know, how difficult is it for the Thunder to produce some homegrown talent here? And everything has to come through the draft. Who is looking at Oklahoma City on a map and thinking, I want to go there? Like, you know, these NBA guys, they got some money. Like, if they got the option to go play for the Lakers or play for the Thunder for the same price, I think they're going to go play for the Los Angeles Lakers. And a lot of us have just come to accept that. Like, I don't think that's really a surprise to anybody here. That's just how small markets work. Like, the odds are always going to be stacked against them. So there's no reason to try to throw the dice again. You got five. That's amazing. Look at what happened in the lottery. I mean, we got picks 6 and 18. That's the second worst outcome. And yeah, I mean, it's halted the rebuild for sure right now. Like, we don't even know what's up with the timeline. You know, supposedly with SGA, because there is still the puzzle pieces that have gone unsolved. As of right now, we're kind of just stuck in neutral. You know, for what we did last season, it was clearly a positive. There's no way we should have had Horford playing. There's no way we should have been contending, right? No reason to rush SGA back or nothing. He's not even playing in the Olympics. That was stupid. Like, you shouldn't, yeah, like, it would have been stupid to try to compete for a play-in. So what we did, even though you only got picked 6 and 18, was a gigantic plus. I think it's going to have to happen next year, though, and the odds can still roll unfavorably, and you don't want to see that. So I mean, I guess the easy fix is bundle up 3-4 first round picks and try to move up. The Cavs at 3, the Raptors at 4. Obviously, the Cavs much better. I think there's kind of, in my book, a cut of 3. You know, people are saying it's a 5 or 6 person draft. I think it's a top 3 thing, and then it kind of digresses from that point. But I think the top 3 in Cade, Mobley, and Green, those are the moneymakers. And I don't know what the Houston Rockets want to do. Ideally, I think a Jalen Green would be perfect next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But yeah, I think if you want to try to trade it, like trade up, that would make sense. And that'd make it so the timelines are working. You just want to have someone paired to SGA as soon as possible. I think you can get that out of the draft. That's the only way to do it. You could try to make deals. But yeah, I mean, regardless, like, if they don't move up and they got to, you know, take their roles on 6, 16, 18, 34, 36, and 55, if you even want to, you know, include that, I guess you could get some sort of asset there. Like, you still need to wait, and it's going to be a waiting game. Like, there's no guys that are not labeled as projects right now past, like I said, 3, right? Like, a Barnes, he's lovely defensively. The shot needs work. Kuminga is the exact same. So you don't go out there right now and you think we're going plans. We're not going plans next year. There's no way on earth. And if they do, that's going to be some fun basketball. Like, watching the team last year was super duper fun. But yeah, like, I'd be shocked. And I don't know exactly how that bode in the future. So I don't think you just move on from this tanking phase. It's still going on. And it's going to be weird because SGA is definitely going to move you up. Like, he's going to make it competitive. And you got Kemba Walker, who, if he suits up in a Thunder jersey, he's also going to make it competitive to where they probably are a playing team anyways. Now, we don't know what's going on with the center spot, but their team could be sneaking in there if you don't offload Walker as quickly as possible. And that's kind of where that ripple effect starts to go in, to where you're thinking, you know, where does everything align? But you don't want to press the issue. And I talked about the 9 picks the Thunder have. And I think one of them, I just wanted to toss in the Thunder one for next season. Technically, it's like a lottery-protected pick owed to the Hawks. But come on, are they really going to be out of the top 14? Heck no, they're going to get that pick. So I'd say 9, and then they got the second rounds. They still have a lot of opportunity in the future. And let's say in 3 years, everything is all crummy. Maybe you go and try to draw something up, but there is no good reason you want to trade SGA after 1 year. And I've seen way too many Twitter photoshops to even talk about it. Like, I don't understand the mindset of some of these people. Like, it's wild. You think you can trade Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Talen Horton-Tucker, and 3 first-round picks to get SGA? Like, who does that? Who thinks that's normal? That's not gonna happen, man. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of me kind of rambling about SGA's trade value. Of course, he brings you a lot, but you don't even want to think about it. Like, and let's say in 3 years, if we talk 3 years from now, SGA's 25 in this offseason. We'd have him, and 25 is still relatively young. That has a lot of trade value. So you could trade SGA, and you would still be getting a motherload package. I don't know why you'd want to move him now as opposed to later, because I don't think the package would change very much at all. I think people are bought into SGA's potential. It's not even potential right now. They know he's playing at all-star levels. They know he can be a serious threat on a championship team. He's 22. You're not going to move him right now. You wait and you see. But even then, you still want to rule him as untouchable. Like, let's say the Thunder are terrible. They don't have anybody to surround SGA with. And it's like a doomsday scenario in whatever offseason it be, like 2024. You still don't make him a tradable guy. Like, you look at things now, Damian Lillard has been kind of stuck for like the last 8 years, and now there's finally rumblings of a trade rumor. If they're stuck in that zone, I don't know if it's going to be done this soon. It's going to take a lot more time. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how I view things here. But yeah, I mean, I just see it more as a waiting game, and you see what you hit on. Like, you have teams jumping up and down in all these different lottery classes, and we have the Clippers picks, we have some Rockets picks, which sadly, there's like a little break in the action. Like, they ruled it, so pretty much they're giving us nothing for this pick last year. It's like a second round pick, if even that. It might be protected, so it never comes to us. But there's like a 2-year gap to where next time we're even looking at a Rockets pick is like 2023 or 2024. I might be a little bit off there. But yeah, I mean, there's that cut in the action. And yeah, I'm checking it right now. It looks like 2024 is when you resume here. So it's a little rough, and they're going to have more pieces to surround KPJ, Martin, and whoever number two is by that time. But yeah, I mean, the rebuild's not over here. I still think the Thunder have one of the brightest futures. But yeah, I mean, you definitely need to trade up. You definitely need to hit on these picks, and you keep talking. Because if you just bust out three times in the first round, it will be a little bit different. You know, it's going to be a bit of a different atmosphere, because this has kind of been this honeymoon phase where we just kind of sit back, relax, look at all the potential we have, and you don't need to face the reality. We finally got that first glimpse of reality saying, you know what, the lottery doesn't always just pan in our favor. And yeah, you got to work from here. Now, Sam Presti is one of the smartest in the game. He's going to get you the best package possible, and he might be our greatest asset of all when we are just being honest here. But yeah, he can't turn water into wine, right? Like, if you get pick six, it's going to be rough. Like, we're seeing it now. You think trading up from 6 to 1 is going to be easy? There's that route with, you know, Cleveland maybe as that mediator, the middleman at pick 3, you can get a swap where OKC gets 1, Detroit gets 3, and, you know, Cleveland gets Kuminga or Barnes at 6 or something, but it still take a lot of value. And yeah, I mean, next year you look at it, you got Holmgren, and then the year after that, that's where you got Amani Bates. Like, there's a lot of hyped prospects up top, and we don't really have everything else kind of rummage through, but yeah, like, you got to get those hits up top or else it's going to be shaky. And luckily, like, every single draft, the top five doesn't always have hit. Like, you look at 2003, clearly the best draft class we've had. You know, if you want to debate, I guess technically like 84, I think. But yeah, I mean, since 2000, this has got to be it, right? Like, you got LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and at number two, Darko Milicic. There's always going to be one of those bad guys in the bunch, and there's always those steals, the Giannis's, the Jokic's, and kind of everything in between. Like, you look at mid-first round picks, like a guy like John Collins almost too, where they just break out from like, what, 18, 19, wherever John Collins was. Definitely outside the lottery though. And look at him now, he's balling out for the Atlanta Hawks. Like, you can find hits anywhere, and I'm a big fan of this draft. So if I was going into the room with 6, 16, 18 in the 2 seconds, I would be pretty confident that you could get something to put next to SGA. And I'll break down my draft board, but I think as of right now, there are a lot of guys that have just really gone by everyone's head. And one of those is JT Thor. He looked amazing in his pro day, to where I genuinely think pick 18 would make sense to take him. And I said on Twitter, it didn't go over well. Like, you know, it was more of a disagreement, but I think reaching on a guy like Thor makes sense. There's even guys like Isaiah Todd in the second. There's guys, but you need the superstars. And yeah, I think guys like a Thor do have that potential. So I think going into draft day, regardless of where we sit at, you need to be going for potential. Next year, you need to be going for potential. You need to try to get these stars to get next to SGA, because if you get one of those, now it's a completely different game. You look at like the Trailblazers. I used their example, you know, not too long ago. Like, look at Damian Lillard and look at CJ McCollum. They have been yin and yang for like the last 7 years, right? Like, no one is getting close to them. Like, they've stuck through thick and thin, and now finally they're thinking of maybe trades, right? You just need to get that second pairing, and then you can start, you know, working. Like, you need, that's the foundation, truthfully. That's the foundation, and then you work. And the thing that's lovely about the Thunder is they have so many draft picks to where, you know, they trade up to make some big, big plays this year, they still have picks, and taking three first-round picks out, you know, if you're able to move up and get the guy you want, that's a worthwhile investment. Look at the Poku trade we made, and look at this year's draft class. Like, we're even upset about pick number six to some degree. You know, like, we're upset about that, 16, 18. You want to package those up. Look at the picks we have in the future. These lucrative Clippers, 2027 first-round picks, the Houston Rockets swaps. You know, our pick was seen as one of the most valuable, and we're at pick six. Like, that is a lot of, there's a lot of hype surrounding those until you hit lottery night. So, with there being so much potential in the future, you could use those picks to your advantage and get the guy you want right now. I think this is one of the more stacked draft classes we've seen in a while. That's a common consensus, and I'm not going to go against people saying that. I think there's so much, you know, talent really filling out the first round and even kind of tipping into the second. And you saw that a lot in the combine, which I said I'm going to be talking about in the next episode. But yeah, there's so much, and you go for the young assets, and you don't want to go in and just make sure SJ's happy right away. Like, we still need to be going for the rebuild here. But yeah, I think that it's going to take some time. And, you know, once you break things down in the next 2-3 years, then you look back at it. This SGA rumor to me is just complete garbage. It's pretty laughable because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. No way on earth. But I want to talk about SGA. Also, Kemba, kind of mentioned it already, but it's in terms of this timeline. And I know my initial reaction to Kemba Walker, I ended up talking a bit about the timeline already, and a little bit might be some reiteration here. So if you guys have already listened to that one, my apologies, but I still think it is worth talking about because a lot of you guys actually came over and started listening after I talked with Hunter and Clemente. I really appreciate everyone who is a Bricktown Breakdown fan. Really good pod. And appreciate them. Appreciate them for hopping on. Saw them at the Mule for the party. I think I already mentioned it, but yeah, it was a great time. But anyways, I talked with them, and that was before when I talked about the Kemba trade, but I just wanted to talk about the initial impact it kind of made and who shuffles around here. And it all is based upon when Kemba Walker gets traded, because if we just move him automatically, we get a guy like a Kristaps or just a guy like Davis Bertans and scraps, who cares? We just get rid of him, and that's that. You're looking at the same thing as last year, where Isaiah Roby, Williams, Deck, everyone who's just a role player, they're going to get their reps, and you're going to be able to mine for talent. Think if Walker plays and is playing 25, 30 minutes when he's appearing, you lose out on the chances at evaluating all 15 guys on the roster, and that is a big no-no in my book for what the Thunder's rebuild should be looking like currently. So Kemba Walker's deal is ugly. It's like 3 years, 100 mil. It's going to be guaranteed. I think there's like a player option, but you'd be stupid not to pick that up. So it's going to be 3 year, 100 mil. If he sticks around, which could happen, I still think it's like a Horford or like a Chris Paul where he's on and off. He's not playing every single game, but he's going to be there. And when he's there, he's going to have to be starting next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That is that. You got to find that happy medium between letting the young guys play, but also making sure you can build up Kemba Walker's trade value, because we already know he's a great guy. I think everybody around the league knows he's a top point guard. You know, he's one of the better ones in the league. Like, he's been an all-star before. He consistently averages like 20 points and like 5-6 assists. He is still going to be able to do that with the Thunder. But you look at the Teos, look at the Ty Jeromes. You got to cut it up nicely so everybody gets a big enough slice. And Kemba was taking up a huge one when he would be playing, because we know SGA, night in, night out, he's getting 30, 32 minutes. I don't know if more, but he'd be getting at least 30 plus a night. That is a given. And that on its own kind of takes away from the guys that we have come to love from last year. Teo Maladone and Ty Jerome specifically. Ty Jerome played like 24 minutes a game. And when Ty was playing, SJ wasn't. Same goes with a guy like Moses Brown. Like, the G League guys did not play with SGA a lot, simply because SGA got hurt in March. The guys, the newcomers, they came in March. So they didn't play a lot. But yeah, with SGA there, clearly Ty's still a backup. He was playing behind Tao. But also, when Kemba's playing, Tao's going to have to be a backup too. And I guess you could try the six-man thing. But regardless, Kemba needs the 25 minutes. He'd be a pretty heavy usage six-man at that. So Tao gets strained by that. And Ty Jerome also gets strained by that. And the one thing I've always stressed on this podcast is this is a four-guard rotation team. And we've seen it consistently throughout the year. I think it's, no matter what, it's two point guards, two shooting guards. And we have so many combo guards. There's a lot of options when you want to dig into that. But for the most part, you don't oftentimes see like a third stringer come into games for us. Except when we're getting blown out by 50 points. Then you give Charlie Brown, you know, the go-ahead, and he can play for 10 minutes, right? But I think it's four guards. And with Kemba there, it's SGA, Kemba, Tao, and Ty. And there's so much, we could see a completely different team by, you know, next tip-off. Like, maybe we don't see everybody here, but I just want to look at it from what we currently have, and we'll talk about the what-ifs later. But with that, who's a guy who was amazing at the two-guard, but might not be able to get the time now? Kenrich Williams. You gotta play Kenrich Williams his minutes. And he was already kind of lowballed on minutes from the beginning of things. Like, I remember he had a good game against maybe Orlando, and then against the Bulls in February, he pretty much saved the game. He pushed it to overtime, and it was pretty much a classic for the year. But regardless, he only played 21.6 minutes. And he was healthy all year, but only played 66. And a lot of things, you got to read into the details. Like, Kenrich would play for 15 minutes some games, and then he'd be starting when someone was hurt. So he was never a consistent variable here with the rotation. And he would not be, I guess it'd be constant. Yeah, he wouldn't be a constant variable with Kemba here. And he'd be pushed up to small forward, and he'd still be playing two guard without Kemba, but he's going to be pushed up there to small forward a lot. And luckily, he can play two through four just fine. But then you look at the small forwards we currently have, and then you kind of start making it a head scratcher. So Kenrich would be playing at small forward. Isaiah Roby, he plays at the three. He showed light there. He can play center. We don't have one right now. So let's just say he can play small ball five. I don't know if it's a long-term option with him, but whatever. We just give it to him. What about a guy like Gabriel Deck? He's a 3 and a 4. You know, he was all right. He was a good passer, good post player, but the shot needs some work. That set shot did spell some doom, and, you know, like, maybe he doesn't make the cut for you. So he might lose some minutes out there. A guy like Josh Hall, who we don't have, you know, future clarification on, like, it still seems, based on like his Instagram and stuff, still seems like his heart's in Oklahoma City, but we don't own his rights right now. Like, he finished the two-way deal. He's a restricted free agent come next year, and someone might want to bite. I know on a two-way, everyone would love to have him. You know, that 25-point game, he has the potential. Definitely is one of the more special undrafted players that came out of last year's class, but I don't know about a full-on offer, maybe like a one-year, test him out. But yeah, I mean, even if you get him back, he'd just be a Oklahoma City Blues superstar. And if he emerges, now it's even more of a fight. So I think it's already tough as is. And then you look at Lu Dort, who would be the presumptive starting small forward. And it gets messy because you want to have just one guy behind him, but it's not really like that currently on the rotation. And when you look at the power forward spot too, I feel like it's kind of set in stone because you have Alexei Pokuševski, you have Darius Bazley. I feel like they might need more than 24 minutes apiece. Like, you don't just evenly coat them. Poku showed so much potential, you'd want to be playing him more than that. And Bazley, he got minutes too. Like, I don't think you just axe him after what he did at the end of the year. Maybe he can get the shot back over the summer, and it's a serious positional battle there. But they kind of have it locked down at power forward, and I think Poku can try to drop to three. Hell, I don't even know if you want to try him at the five based on his current frame, but he can move places too. So luckily, there's all these moving parts. But with that, that also means, you know, some parts are going to get filled up easier than others, and the guys who are still versatile, they're done for. So a guy like Charlie Brown Jr., I don't know if he even makes it past training camp, truthfully. A guy like Deck, I hope we, you know, see a little bit more of him, because we only saw like 10 games or so, but he might have a tough go at it. Like, the rotation is so crunched up now at the guard spots, and it even moves up to the small forward spot and just everywhere due to this. And you look at the draft table. I didn't even mention it here. You got 5 draft picks. You get another guard in. How do you split it up? What impact does Kemba Walker have on the rotation now? If we go ahead, we move up, we get a Jalen Green, a Jalen Suggs, and we still have Kemba. Kemba has to be off the bench, but now you got Teo, you got Ty. That is a tough conversation you're going to have with one of those guys. And even at small forwards, like, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to be cut. And there's going to be surprises just solely based off the draft, unless we move up, because we have way too many picks right now. I'm going to say 5, because I think the sixth pick we have is going to be a stash. But there's so many picks we have that it's going to make for some difficult calls down the line. But from a timeline standpoint, like, it does make it weird, because he doesn't better you in the future at all. I think we know that. That's why we ended up getting picks. That's why we got the first round pick for him. And, you know, like, the Celtics didn't want him because they knew in the short term he wouldn't work out for us. In the short term, he doesn't work out because he makes you better. I don't necessarily know if you want that. He also scrunches up the minutes. And in the long term, he's already 31 years old. You're complaining about SGA being 22? Look at this guy. Damn near 10 years older than him. Like, you can't have him in the future. He's going to have to be gone by the end of this contract. Like, he's not going to be here for long. It's like a 1-year rental again. And hopefully you move him before that point. But he does make the questions a lot harder. And just with him playing, of course you're going to increase how much wins you're getting. So whether it's 4 or 5 extra wins, that is going to be very detrimental when it comes to lottery balls. And the Thunder, you know, if they lost the coin flip, they'd be the Cavs. They'd be number 3. You want to make it that simple? I'm going to make it that simple. And when you look at everything, I think the Thunder, out of the 5 or 6 spins they had with the balls, because there were some repeats, their name only popped up like 3 times. Like, 3 times they had a chance based on the final number to get the pick. That's terrible. And they have the 4th best odds. So you move it up to like 7th or 8th, you still have a chance up top, sure. But, you know, you don't want to be hurting your odds, because in most lottery spins, the Thunder would have got something better than what they ended up getting. But Kemba helps you, and that's almost a bad thing right now. So he hurts that timeline. It makes it more of now you're almost in the play-in hunt, and you're going to bench him. So I still think you're looking around that 28-30 win area, and I'll definitely update that as we see more moves kind of go in and out of the team. But yeah, like, the timeline does shuffle a bit, and as it was mentioned on the podcast, you know, Brian Windhorst, of course, SGA is now like this guy that you think about getting traded, and I still think he's untouchable. I think it's still ridiculous. Like, if you get picks 6 and 18, doesn't change much. You see how everybody develops for the next 2 years, and you look at it now. Look at it then, I mean. But yeah, I mean, that's just my take on it. That's my take on the timeline. I know this episode I was kind of just talking here and there. I was talking everywhere in these, what, like 30, 39 minutes, wherever I'm at right now. But yeah, I mean, if you guys have any other things you want me to fill in, I'll talk about it next episode. I'll talk to it on Twitter. You guys know where to hit me up, just at Ben Kreider on Twitter. You guys can check out the pod at Thunderstick Pod. And you guys can also check out all the other great podcasts in the Basketball Podcast Network. You can find them at HoopsPodNet. Pretty much got every team now. I think there's only like 1 or 2 missing, but they're looking to add on some more. So you guys can get coverage from all these teams, you know, the draft teams, the teams in the playoffs. You know, there's still a lot of conversation going on with what we've seen. Trae Young going off, having to carry the Atlanta Hawks. Still got Gallinari. He's amazing, too. But, yeah, final 4 teams remaining. Pretty damn interesting playoffs. Always seems to be kind of fun towards the end here. So it's lovely. But yeah, I mean, that's my talk for today. Like I said, if you have anything else you guys would like to ask me, just talk to me on Twitter. Tomorrow or Wednesday, I will be talking about the draft combine. So even more, guys, if you want me to talk about a certain player from the combine, just make sure to tell me and I will cover them. But other than that, though, guys, that is going to wrap up today's episode. I thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all next time. See ya.